Let me invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, let me recommend to you that you would at least memorize verse 1 of Psalm 46. Be a good verse to memorize and to hide in your heart during the days and weeks to come. Let us read God's Word together. This is God speaking to us. For us, hear now the word of God, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that speaks to us in our condition today. Lord, we pray that you would reveal what type of God you are and what you have promised to your people. And we pray, God, that we would be encouraged and strengthened and comforted through your word this day. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a virus, small infection-causing agent, contagious, moves from person to person, like the flu or the common cold, a cough, someone next to you touches you or touches a contaminated surface, and behold, the virus, as unwelcome as a mother-in-law in a honeymoon, is yours. The origin of this virus is said to be from China, a place called Wuhan. But the virus is not a what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas type of virus. No, this virus, coronavirus, short name COVID-19, has been exported to our country faster than a hummingbird darts from feeder to feeder. A global disease rubbing shoulders with a global economy and invading nation after nation after nation through airline travel, through cruise travel, traveling state to state. Who would have thought the vacation of a lifetime could turn into a nightmare when you suddenly find yourself quarantined in a small cabin in the deeper recesses of a luxury liner. Some luxury, huh? COVID-19 has caused a worldwide panic attack. How bad is the fear? So bad that Italy has quarantined an entire nation in fear of a national epidemic of black plague proportions. So bad that Brooklyn's Chinatown restaurants are becoming ghost town empty. So bad the bright lights of Broadway reveal not shows playing but venues that have shut down. So bad that our national pastimes, athletic events, March Madness, all college sports have been suspended indefinitely. College classes have pretty much been suspended, which will also in a very negative way affect the economies, especially of Starkville, Oxford, and the Hub City. And speaking of the economy, the fear of this virus is so bad, in the middle of last week, the U.S. stock market dropped faster than Wile E. Coyote falling off a cliff. After a lengthy bull market run, the bull has morphed into a bear. Within a few days, investors lost thousands and thousands of dollars. If you're a retired person on a fixed income, you're no longer putting pennies in your piggy bank. You're watching as Zeros are being subtracted from what you have. It seems a long shot that a tourniquet will be tied around Wall Street in time to stop the economic hemorrhaging, although we pray that will be the case. So what we have, and all you have to do is just tune in anywhere, TV, online, wherever. Dire predictions of what could happen are causing great anxiety, great worry in people's lives. Remember a definition of worry I heard once, runs something like this. Worry is today's mouse eating tomorrow's cheese. And that's what we have. Today's mouse eating tomorrow's cheese. And as you know, worry and stress walk arm in arm together along life's paths, don't they? COVID-19 and the broad collateral damage, the aftershocks, is indeed blowing a gaping hole in our national psyche. So the question is this: what do we do? More importantly, what type of mindset do we need to have about this worldwide crisis we're in? And more importantly for us this morning, what kind of perspectives should believers, Christians, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ have about what's happening around us and, quite frankly, what is happening to us? Well, Psalm 46 offers an answer. This psalm is a song born in the womb of a life setting of physical, civil, and spiritual stress and trouble. If you're not stressed at all about what's going on right now, Psalm 46 is not in your mail. But for the rest of us, this psalm is a balm to calm the wicked itch of anxiety that we're all feeling to one extent or the other about COVID-19. This psalm reveals its big idea in the first verse. Look at first verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. And notice this word, in trouble. Now that word trouble there in the Hebrew means to be restricted, to be tied up into a narrow, cramped place. You've heard the expression between a rock and a hard place. Well, that's where we are now, and that's where we are in Psalm 46, between a rock and a hard place, feeling pressed, squeezed in, overwhelmed by what is happening. To you, to me, this psalm is saying in a sentence this: in this situation in which we find ourselves right here, right now, God is in this situation with us. Please hear that. In this situation, God is in this situation with us. Notice He is a very present help in trouble. As we work through Psalm 46, there are three types of trouble in which God promises to be with us to encourage us during what will be certainly some difficult days, weeks, and maybe months to come. Now, you'll notice after the third verse and then after the seventh verse and then after the 11th verse, a word, Selah. When you see Selah in a psalm, it's time to stop, to pause, to reflect, to consider the value of what you've just read. In other words, as you read through this psalm, and I hope you'll read back through it many times this week, instead of speeding through this psalm like someone 10 minutes late for an appointment in Madison, you need to stop at the Selahs. Pause, reflect, take a deep breath, and let what you just read sink in. Please, let God's Word speak to your fears. First kind of trouble in which God promises to be with us is this: in times of physical trouble, God is our very present help. That's what we see in verses 1 through 5. It speaks of just convulsions of the earth, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, volcanoes, floods, out-of-control forest fires, lightning storms, and COVID-19. We've seen up close this year and personal the damage that national disasters do, even here in the Jackson area. Upheaval in nature changes everything. The earth beneath us shakes and quakes and shifts and rolls and slides and floods and spews out deadly viruses. Look at verses 3 and 4. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains tremble at its swelling, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. See, even when these violent floods come, when mountains, which by the way are a symbol of stability, when mountains even move, God is our bridge over troubled water. God is totally stable. During these very unstable times, God is the one constant in our lives. And the more you are anchored to this eternal, unchangeable God, the more stability you will have. Notice it speaks of the city of God. That is, God's people do not need to be moved if they're anchored to God. In this psalm, the waters roar, they foam, and just like water eventually wears away any rock, water wears away the Grand Canyon. Life wears us away. Life like an ever-rolling stream. Time bears all its sons away. Friends, let's face it. This global pandemic is teaching us a valuable lesson in how weak we are as human beings. We're trying our best to contain the spread of COVID-19, and we are confident of its eventual success. Certainly, we pray that way. But let this virus be a string tied around your finger. We are, in the final analysis, people who are frail and weak and susceptible to all kinds of dangers. As someone says, even Superman has his kryptonite. The words of another psalm ring true. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field, and the wind, our COVID-19, blows over it. It's gone. Its place is remembered no more. That's Psalm 103, 15 and 16. Now, how does the reality of our fragility hit home? Well, perhaps by reminding us, all of us, this. Don't take your life on this earth for granted. As the psalmist says in Psalm 90, 12, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Remember how you used to, when you were younger, just count down the days to Christmas? Well, we're counting down the days to the arrival of a new heaven and a new earth. But even as we number our days, even as we realize our life on this earth is not forever, the psalmist tells us when this ever-present physical danger does a number on us, God never leaves our side. See, God is our very, hear this, present help, our strength. As a matter of fact, on this side of Psalm 46, we know God is present with us because according to John 1:14, in time and space and history, God himself entered into this fallen planet in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus entered here. He entered into our physical trouble. He experienced national disasters, natural disasters, storms, roaring, foaming waters. Jesus encountered all kinds of diseases like COVID-19. Jesus felt physical pain much worse than we could ever feel. And Jesus felt the Category 12 hurricane of God's wrath landfalling into his life. You see, Jesus did all this so one day this fallen world full of natural disasters and physical pain will one day be restored to a world where there's no tornadoes, no floods, no fires, no pain, no tears, no COVID-19, no death. Listen, please hear this. COVID-19 did not start in China. Did you know that? COVID-19 started in Genesis 3. When Adam sinned and everything changed, for the worst, right down to what you're seeing today. Friends, here's the good news for the physical fears we face. Jesus, the second Adam, has entered into this world. Where the first Adam fell, Jesus succeeded. Jesus has defeated sin and death once and for all with the sacrifice of himself. Jesus has risen from the grave in a glorious resurrection body. This morning, we have a solid hope that one day in the future, The restoration of all things is going to happen. And because of what Jesus did, God one day is going to bring heaven to earth. This God, revealed right here in Psalm 46, gives us a hope and a future. So, Selah, pause, reflect, pray. Praise God for who He is and the fact that He is with us. Notice the second kind of trouble in which God is with us. Not only is God with us in times of physical trouble, but notice, secondly, in times of civil trouble, God is our very present help. Notice the nations rage, kingdoms totter. He utters His voice. This is verse 6, verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the Bible's perspective on social, geopolitical changes happening all over the world. One of the most distressing things about this particular crisis is it is even now being used by politicians to ratchet up their rhetoric and to make their opponents look bad. Friends, the blame game between countries and political parties and people is not a game but a reality. And how awful is that? Politicians on both sides of the aisle using this crisis to display their hatred for one another, to play political one-upmanship. They ought to be ashamed of themselves if they're even capable of experiencing shame. Add to all this political mess the fact of social distancing, which, by the way, social distancing is very good. It is a very beneficial thing to do. But because of social distancing, people are going to feel excluded and isolated. That's not easy because we are, in God's image, created for relationship. Many people right now are having to deal with isolation. It's an experience the leper community of Jesus' day knew all too well, forced to live on their own, walking down the streets of their hometown, shouting, "Unclean! Unclean! Do not touch me!" Friends, we are caught up in a geopolitical, environmental, social storm. So where is the stability? We're being attacked. Where is our fortress? Well, it says the God of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The God of hosts there means the commanders of the armies of heaven, the King who we have great hope in and confident expectations, because this King is going to one day annihilate his and our enemies, political and physical. This King is our fortress. And this morning, if you're in Christ, if you are in Christ, your soul is safe no matter what. You are safe as you can be. Your soul, the most important part of you. Outside of Christ, you're toast. In the meantime, notice back in verse 5, it says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God's Word, which represents the presence of God in our midst, God's Word, what we have open before us this morning, gives us stability, because in this crazy changing world, God's Word is not going to change. And if we build our lives on the solid foundation of God's Word, our lives will be stable. You will only be stable during this time to the extent that you're spending time in God's Word. Notice verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Staying in God's Word brings the gospel river of gladness to flow into our lives and drown the enemy we call fear. The psalmist says in times of civil unrest, national crisis, the Lord of hosts, the commander of the armies of heaven, is with us. And what's more, this side of Psalm 46, and isn't this great to know, not only is He with you, but now in the Holy Spirit, this God lives in you. Think about that. Colossians 1:17, Christ in you is the hope of glory. So, Selah, Pause, think about it, pray, praise God. Physical trouble, civil trouble, rest assured, beloved, God is with us. There's a third kind of trouble in which God promises to never leave us, never forsake us, or to be with us, and that's this. In times of spiritual trouble, God is our very present help. Verses 8 and 9, come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots in fire. This is a picture of a battlefield after a war. These verses remind us that the Christian life is not a playground. The Christian life is a battleground, and what is hinted at verse 6 or verse 7 is written in large letters, verses 8 and 9. What we have here is a picture of total victory of Yahweh, the warrior king, who is going to have the final say-so over his and our enemies, every enemy, including the coronavirus. But still, we're at war. Three-front battle. Physical, civil, spiritual. And warriors get tired of fighting the good fight of faith. So what do you do? You know, the instruction of verse 10 may surprise you somewhat. But let's look at it. What do you do in light of the fact we're in this war? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Literally, it's cease striving. The Hebrew paints a picture like this. Take your hands off. Let it go. Be still. Be quiet. Look up. Calm down. Chill out. The Lord, your warrior king, is going to be exalted, even in this crisis, sooner or later. But here's the problem with us doing what this verse is telling us to do, to let go. Here's the problem. We love to be in control. We fancy ourselves as captains of our destiny, masters of our fate. But the reality is that more than ever, well, yes, we can control significant parts of our lives. You can control your home's heating and cooling. You can control security remotely. You can move money around the world with a click of an app. You can even, to some extent, control your body through diet and exercise and training and medicine. But this sense of control that we have is an illusion, friends. It is something that's a bubble that the sharp pen of COVID-19 has popped, revealing the stark reality that we are not really in control. Yes, we are armed with our disinfectant sprays. We try to lower the risk of being infected, and we should take every precaution we're being told to take. Listen to the CDC. You know, being spiritual is not the same thing as being stupid. You do what you can, but are we in control of the situation? Hardly. We do what we can, but remember, God is in control. And so since God is in control, I have some good news for you. There is something you can do today and every day about COVID-19. And here's what you can do. Please hear this. You can cry out to your Father in heaven with earnest, heartfelt prayers of total dependence upon God. One of my favorite definitions of prayer is this. What is prayer in the final analysis but a spreading out of my helplessness before God? That's what prayer is in the final analysis. So what do we pray for? We pray for the authorities running our countries and cities. We pray for our medical teams. Dear friends, these are the true heroes of the day. They're treating the sick. We pray for the men and women and children who've been infected. and for people who are afraid to leave their homes. Pray for people living in red zones, for those at high risk for other illnesses. We pray for the elderly, for the infirmed. We pray the Lord would protect us. The Lord would keep us. We pray to God that He may show mercy to us and deliver us from this disease. And we pray for the Lord Jesus Christ to return, that He may come back and put the world to rights, to bring heaven to earth, to usher in a place where there is no more tears, no death, no mourning, no crying, no pain. Revelation 21:4. You see, friends, true Christianity begins where our efforts to deal with this situation end. This morning, in the days and weeks and months to come, with great humility, we admit to God, God, I don't have what it takes to deal with what's before me. Begin with that humble admission of inadequacy. And remember this, whatever trouble you find yourself in, God shows up in that trouble. And you know what else? God gives you strength. God gives you strength to deal with life in this fallen, fragile world. May you anchor yourself this day and every day in this God who is with us, who never leaves us or forsakes us in times of trouble. Let us pray. Lord, how quickly and harshly the tidal wave of this crisis has crashed into our lives. And when we feel we're being pulled under by what's happening, we have only one life raft to cling to, and that is You, God. You promised to be with us in this trouble. It's a reminder to us and to ourselves that You are the stability that we have, that we can stabilize ourselves only as far as we stay in Your Word. Even isolation should encourage us with Your presence. Lord, we need reminders, however harsh they may be, that we are not in control, but You are. Lord, we pray that You would help us to live wisely, to live with compassion, to live with hope, to live life on our knees, praying to You for what only You can give, and that is Your presence. We pray for an ultimate solution to this problem, knowing that there is an ultimate solution to this problem. That ultimate solution comes in the life, death, resurrection, ascension, and one day the return of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.